Accession number 10423, rule 2.
Mr. Norman Harland, Reel 2. Before we carry on with your experiences on reaching the 8th Battalion, the Durham Light Infantry,
yes.
Can we cover some elements of training that we missed last time, Mr. Harland?
Yes.
You went to Bransworth. How long were you at Bransworth?
I was at Bransworth about 7 weeks.
And that was where your recruit training took place?
In actual fact, that's where my recruit training took place, yes.
And that was very largely learning to salute and learning to march.
Well, it was learning to put your gear together and to march and salute. That was the main, those were the main things.
And when were you marching? Was it light infantry pace?
Yes, at first we just marched the ordinary pace, 130, but at the end we marched 180. That's the DLI pace.
So you left Bransworth for...
Willington,
Masonic Hall.
Yes.
What was the accommodation like there?
The accommodation was very good.
Can you recall it?
Yes, it was a wood floor, but we had two biscuits and it was quite comfortable and the people were good.
You got on well with the civil population?
Yes, we did.
In what ways?
Well, when we were on picket, there was no guards in those days, it was just picket. They used to bring us fish and chips at night time, tea and stuff like things like that, you know. They were very excellent. Also, if you went to a pub, you didn't buy any drink. They were very good, but yes, they were.
What kind of training were you having at Willington?
Well, at Willington, we did a lot of training out on the field training. Like attacks and patrols and things.
You were telling me last time that on reflection, after being in the territorials after the war,
yes.
That you felt that the training that you got at this time wasn't really very good.
It wasn't. I don't think that the training we got was seen to attack without being covered. Now, of course, nobody moves unless they're covered. You have cover and fire. But not in those days.
Do you feel that the training was...
I don't think the training was up to scratch.
Do you think it was because they may be rushing you to get
you
ready?
No, I don't think so. I think the training was only being done according to the book that was printed at that date.
Was your training in the field, was it platoon training?
It was platoon training. Without blanks, no blank cartridge in those days, just a racket or a quake, yes. That's what we used in those days. We
so
didn't
you,
use blanks.
So you didn't use
we
any
did
blank ammunition?
We have no blanks,
yeah.
No.
So you moved to Willington, from Willington, sorry, to New Bransworth when?
I'll split the time in three. I went there on the 15th of September, to Bransworth Castle, and when I'd been there, I went to Willington, and I spent the last part of my training at Bransworth in the Social Centre, New Bransworth.
And what form of training did that take?
Well, the training there was mostly whipping training. A lot of whipping training there.
How did you take to the discipline of the army?
I took it very well. I mean, I was discharged with an exemplary. I was exemplary. So I did it very well. Of course, I was a prisoner of war, and we don't know what was going to happen.
What about those of your fellow recruits who didn't take to it? What kind of thing
well,
happened
Well, there wasn't
to them?
Very many who didn't take to it. Being militiamen, we didn't know what to expect, and we just accepted it. One or two was discharged because they were mentally not medically fit. Otherwise, they were all okay.
Over the whole of your training period, did you have any educational qualifications to go for?
Well, on one On one occasion, I went to a big house down the south of England to do some first aid practice, and we got qualified for something there, but I don't know what it was. Oh, it was using morphia and stuff like that.
What was the food like?
The food wasn't too bad, but there wasn't plenty of it.
And this would be cooked for you by trained cooks?
By cooks that were regular cooks. They're not our men. Our men was all training. There was no ACC then, by the way.
What about kit inspections?
We had kit inspections. As a matter of fact, the second week we were in, we had a kit inspection. And the first week, I had my first pair stolen. So there.
And you never found the culprit?
No, but they had a whip around and I got enough back to cover myself, like 2 shillings a day.
How much was your pay?
2 shillings a day, 2 shillings to credits, 2 shillings to family allowance to your mum or your, probably your next of kin. That was to cover you in case anything happened to you. Like. We didn't get very much. We didn't need very much.
Can you describe to me how the kit inspections were held and how often?
Well, the kit inspections was held about every 3 weeks, and it was just a matter of laying your kit out properly beside your beds, and the colour sergeant, the regular colour sergeant, would come down and would count them and would tick it off, and that was it.
And if anything was missing?
You would pay for it.
That came out of your pay?
Yes, it came out of your credits. PT every morning.
So you did PT every morning?
Yes.
Before
breakfast, there was PT everywhere.
So what time was this? What kind of time?
6:30. It was a little bit early, but that was the time. That was when I got my pierce stolen anyway.
So what form did your PT take? What kind of exercises?
Well, the PT was mostly standing and arms up, arms down, Gilligan says this, and was done by a regular PT instructor who wore the red and black jersey.
Did you have sport?
Well, we didn't really have time for sport. They were training us in a hurry, I think. They wanted to get us away, I think.
So you never got into football or other
games? We played amongst ourselves on the field, but we didn't really play any competitive football.
Was any gambling going on?
No. We didn't have sufficient money to gamble at that time.
And was it encouraged by your superiors if you were gambling? Or?
Gambling wasn't even spoken about. They were just bothered about getting us in and out. That's all they were bothered about.
How often were you allowed into the surrounding area on leisure?
Well, when we were at the castle, it was too far away, and we didn't get much money, so we just stayed in the castle and used the nappy, that's all. But in Winnington, we were in the town, and we used the town when we went on duty.
And which were the main recreational areas in the town?
Well, I used to take a pint of beer and talked a lot, but that's all. I couldn't drink a great lot. There was some temperance bars there, but that's about the whole lot. I don't think there's anything else.
Cinema?
There was no cinemas. The only cinema I saw was at Ushamua. That was a long way out.
And the civilians at Willington received you very well,
The civilians at Willington were very good. They were very good to us.
Was there any opportunity to meet the young ladies of the town?
I never bothered any young ladies. I wasn't even married then, but I didn't bother young ladies. No, I didn't. I don't know. I'm speaking for myself. I don't know about the other lads, like, but them may have done, not me.
Did you get any leave?
No leave. We left Willington for New Brunswick, and then from New Brunswick went straight down to the battalion.
During the course of your training, Mr. Harland, was there any attempt to teach you the history of your regiment?
No. No.
So there was no attempt to build up a loyalty through that
approach? No attempt.
We
didn't have time for that in those days.
Looking back over the weeks of training that you had at Brandsmouth, Willington and New Brandsmouth, what are your recollections of officers and NCOs?
Well, I didn't mention this chap before, but Sergeant Patterson sticks in my mind because he was so smart, and he was the sergeant that took us down to the Durhams. It was Sergeant Patterson, Sergeant Major Runciman, and Corporal Hudson. Those are the men that still stick in my mind. Of course, first time with the army, everybody's took in my mind. They all looked so smart, you know. Very smart.
Says who commanded? Who was in command of the training?
Commander of the Brandsmouth Castle was Colonel Astid. I never saw any young officers with the training units. I never saw officers there. Never did.
Did you see or hear of any bullying or
no bullying
going on at this
nothing
time?
Nothing at all. Nothing at all.
You didn't see any of that?
Of course, we were all the same. In the same street. If they're bullied, we'd bully. So, but no bullying. No, there was no bullying whatsoever. No.
Do you recall any stories, particular stories about any of the officers?
Well,
and
I only remember the story about having my pay stolen, which is a good story. And I went out to do PT, and I put my pay under the pillow, and when I came back, it had gone. And I told Corporal Hudson, and he had a whip round, and I finished off by being a shilling more. Now, the week following, another bloke lost his pay, but he was chased. He was called the old soldier, I think. That's about all. Yes. In New Brandsmouth, I remember the Salvation Army coming in and giving us sweets and oranges and apples. We didn't get no leave, you see. And they were good people. That's all I remember about that. And then there's Connor's effort late, you know, but that will be down that now. About Connor being...
Yes, we have that. Have you any outstanding memories of any of your fellow recruits? Anyone that stood out particularly? Personality-wise?
Well, there's two stood out, but they're both dead now. They were both killed. Cloughton and Fitzpatrick. They both became sergeants in the carrier platoon. But they both were killed.
What was particularly outstanding of those two?
They were very small. And they were both from Sunderland. They were good soldiers, that's all.
Aye, so you went to Durham Station and you moved down to the Cotswolds. What was the name of the place you found the 8th Battalion?
Charlbury.
When you got there, how were you received?
Very well, but most of the boys were away. They were firing a course at Castle Brummage, but the chaps that were left behind were very good.
What time was this? What date?
Well, it was early January, and it would be in the afternoon, because I remember being taken to a place called Sycamore House. That's where our billets were. Sycamore House. I was put in the stretcher beds, by the way.
This was as soon as you got there, you were
putting
the stretch bearers?
Yes, as soon as I got there. And there was nobody else. Most of the officers were away and all, you see.
And was this because you had some interest in first aid, or you were just chosen?
Oh, no, I was a first aid man. I was a first aid man.
And they had this record?
Yes. I was a first aider, yes.
Well, we'll come to that later. What was the accommodation like at this place?
The accommodation wasn't too bad. It was just as you'd expect in the army. There was no biscuits then. We were using palliasses. Biscuits seem to disappear with the castle on that part of the country.
What was the food like in this new area?
Well, the food wasn't too bad. But as I say, there wasn't plenty of it. That's the only thing.
Still in with kit inspections, though?
We had a lot of kit inspections there. That's the regular battalion. There were a lot of kit inspections. They were just like the regular army.
On the same lines as all kit inspections?
Yes, very much the same. On your bed, it was inspected every morning, and things were definitely. There may have been TA, but they were not. They were regular soldiers then.
The discipline, was it any different from the training?
The discipline was very good. I mean, the first man we met was a sergeant major called John E. Curry, and the first thing he said was, get your bloody hat on the street in the DLR, you wear your hat on the street, or I'll disembowel you. That was his words, I'll disembowel you. But he was captured in France. He was a good sergeant major.
And again, you had no problems with discipline yourself?
Not a bit.
But now that you're with the battalion, did you have guard duties?
Oh, yes, but could I say, I just come down in time to be inspected by the King. So we had a march to Chipping Norton. And we stood in the field, frozen to death, till our overcoats came, and they hadn't come. And they came very late, and we put them on, and we went on parade, and we were inspected by the King.
So you recall that?
I recall that very well. He was just a little meekling. Not very well. But we were very cold.
And you marched from...
We marched from Charlbury to Chipping Norton. Yes, we did. Also, I remember the band instruments was all frozen up and they wouldn't play properly. I remember that, but no.
Any other outstanding memories of the King's visit?
Well, he spoke to you. He'd have a word. You look very well about you. I said, we had a good rest down in the cold. Our faces are all red, you see. And he said, you look well about you. All look well. I didn't see very much like, but I think you understand.
Now, you were late to the battalion. The others had been down some time.
Yes. There was some KOSBs, Cosbys, had been there for quite a while, but we were the last of the reinforcements. We were the last ones before they moved across to France. We made up the strength because those 30 men was sent back. The jobs they had, they just couldn't keep them. 30, so many old men, you know, and so many men that had jobs where they were requested to go back.
And you were replacing these men, were you?
Yes. I imagine, it seemed to me as if that seemed to be the way, like. And also we got a lot of injections and that now, you know.
What about recreation down there? Did you have any
recreation
down there?
Oh, there was football matches, there was intercompany matches, but we didn't have much time, you see. We didn't get there about the 11th of January. Well, we sailed on the 28th of January, but when we got abroad, we did. We didn't play much. I didn't play football very much.
So again, you got no leave.
No, I got no leave. I had leave at the depot, you know. I didn't get no leave. No, I didn't. I went straight away. I mean, we were supposed to be getting leave across in France, but there was always fog over the channel. So I got no leave.
So you were only down at Charlborough for a very short time.
Yes.
In... What form was your training continuing?
We did a lot of stretcher bearer training.
Can you describe what kind of training
that
was?
Well, we were taught how to lift a man onto a stretcher. We were taught how to bandage a man. We were taught how to give morphia. We were taught how to lift a man onto a stretcher. It was very important. And it can be very heavy, too. You see, the band have always been known to be stretcher bearers. We weren't. We were just stretcher bearers. So we got all the work to do. Anyway, it was quite interesting. It was from there where we did a big course for stretcher bearers. So they wouldn't let anybody go out stretcher bearing. You had to be, but you don't get the idea about stretcher bearers being non-combatants. We still carried rifles. I mean, I carried rifles just the same as anybody else. But we did two jobs.
And was the two of you to a stretcher?
In actual fact, yes, there should have been four, but there was only two. We were definitely under strength.
And were you allotted your own stretcher?
Well, at the end, in France, there was no stretchers left. I remember the very last man I picked up in France. I'm jumping the gun a bit there now. We had to get a door off a house to put one of the gunners on to lie on flat. The stretcher had just disappeared. What had happened, you see, they'd taken the stretcher to the ambulance, but they'd left it. They'd left the chap on board, you see.
In your training, when you were taught a special way to put a person onto your stretcher, in a special way, did you then have training at carrying distances?
Oh, yes.
And over rough terrain?
Yes, yes, you did.
That was all part of your training?
Yeah, very strong. Yes, I get it. I mean, if a chap was badly wounded, you had to get him back to the field ambulance. Well, God knows where it would be. You had to take him right back. But you had to make sure you got a stretcher back.
And in the manoeuvres that were taking place at this time, you would have a role to play.
Oh, yes, we did stretcher bearing just the same. They would shout for the stretcher bearers, and you would make a dash and you'd bring them back to the RAP.
With some soldiers playing wounded or have you?
Yes.
Now, in the area of Childbury, did you get much opportunity in the brief time you were there to meet the civilians?
Not really. It was very bad weather at that time. It had been snowing quite a lot, and we didn't move about very much. But there were several houses was allowing two men every night to come for baths. That's something I didn't expect. They were very good. They were very good.
They were very friendly.
They were. They really were, yes.
Do you know anything of the organisation of the battalion at this time?
Well, I studied the battalion, I studied the brigade. Yes, I know the number of the platoons that was in the battalion, and I knew the amount of weapons they should have, and I knew how many weapons they were short of with being with the regulars, you see. I mean, we should have had one brand gun to a section, but we didn't. Well, there was a lot of brand guns short. But as far as the brigade, well, I knew there was three battalions to a brigade. That was ours. That was the 8th, who wore the blue flash. The 6th, who wore the red flash. And the 9th, who wore the Roman 9 numeral. That was the three regiments.
Who was your commanding officer?
Our commanding officer was a Colonel Beatt. He joined us from the regular army, and he was wounded at the beginning of the action in France.
What kind of a person was he?
He was a nice bloke, a quiet, friendly chap.
Strict?
Well, strict in his way, I should imagine, yes. The adjutant did all the work as far as that was concerned. You see, he just walked around, he didn't bother.
Who was second in command?
The second in command was actually a clerk. He's from a Scotch regiment, but I don't know what regiment it was, man. But he was a Scotch regiment. He was a Scot. And the second in command was Major McLaren. That was he took command of the battalion in France when he was wounded.
So was Clark the adjutant?
He was the adjutant. Yes, he was a regular. You see, in TA battalions, you'll find that the colonel, the adjutant, and the RSM, and most of the sergeant majors are regulars. That was at the beginning, of course.
What exactly was the adjutant's duties?
Well, the adjutant's duty, of course, is like the RSM's. It's mainly discipline. I mean, if you're... If you go to the audio room, you'll see the adjutant be there. He was the man that noted how many charges was against you. It was his job to see there was discipline kept in the battalion.
Now, who was the company commanders? How were they split?
The company my company commander was the Royal Captain, by the way. My last company commander was Captain Clear. I was at the D Company, and there was Captain Walton.
He was second in command, was he, Walton?
No,
or was
Walton
he commander of another company?
He was commander of another company.
Oh, I see.
It was Captain Preacher, And Captain Clear was in our company. But I can't remember all other companies. It's a while ago.
And you were attached, you say, to D Company?
I was a D Company, yes.
And how many stretcher bearers was attached to each company? Two. In all the training that you've had to date, Mr. Harland, would you say, on hindsight, that it was relevant to what you were about to face in France and elsewhere?
Yes, I would say it was relevant, as far as stretcher bearers is concerned. But there was a lot of things that I was worried about.
What kind of things were those?
Well, I was worried about the way they pushed everybody forward instead of... I've mentioned fire and movement. I've been taught that much. It's not the way it should be. Fire and movement. Somebody should be firing me while you're moving. But...
You weren't trained in that role.
That's the only thing I was thinking about. And I saw it happen.
In France?
Yes.
Oh, well, we'll come to that later.
Yes, of course you will.
And you were saying earlier that you were concerned at that time that in some ways the battalion was not up to strength. It was up to strength in numbers, but its equipment.
Well, I got the impression that the battalion didn't have sufficient weapons. Because I was on the impression that there should be mortars and Bren guns and all sorts of stuff, you know. But they didn't seem to have it. Maybe they had. I don't know. I mean, I can't really say for sure. But I'm sure they didn't have what they should have.
And you feel that was the situation when you went to France?
Well, I think personally that for the stuff we had, we beat the hell out of the Germans. And if it'd been organized a bit better and had more gear, we'd have bred them right back. Anyway, you'll know that we took some prisoners.
Yes, well, we can come to that later. So we're getting to the end of January. What date were you moving to France?
We left on the 28th of January.
Did you have much warning?
We had plenty of warning because the carrier platoon and the MT went in advance to us to pick the billets out. And that was when we got to get ready to move. We're all packed up ready. Everything was gone.
Can you recall the move? Can you recall?
Well, the move was early in the morning, and it was very quiet, very secretive, but there were still some hunting people there waiting to kill us stuff.
Civilians.
I didn't remember. A lot of snow on the ground. It was a very nasty day. But we had a good send-off. But I know that it was top secret, that nobody was supposed to know when we were leaving the country. The other one, worse than that, there's another place that's worse than, isn't it?
Did you move off in transport or had you to march
somewhere
to assemble?
No, we didn't. We got on a train at Honiton Station.
And was that a march to Honiton Station?
Well, it wasn't very far away, Honiton Station. It was only about a mile down the road.
And what about the train journey? What was the train like?
The train was all right. We went to Southampton and from there we went across to Cherbourg.
What time of the day, or was it the next day that you sailed? Have you any idea?
Well, I know we left at 4 o'clock in the morning, and I can't tell you exactly, but it would be about 8 o'clock, I think, when we got there. And we got on LMS boats.
What are they?
They were boats they used before they had these big transporters now, you see. They were London and... They belonged to the railway, actually, and I stopped the lounge all night. I didn't move.
What kind of a journey was it?
Bloody awful.
Rough.
It was rough, and it was very rough. And when we got to Cherbourg, I often wonder if it was worth going for, to tell the truth.